You're here this morning. It's good to be together. God is good. All the time. All right. Let's do that as a shout praise to the Lord this morning, okay? I'll shout, God is good, and you say all the time, and then we'll reverse it, okay? God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Amen. God is good. That's kind of a cliche, but this has been on my heart for some time as I was before the Lord one morning. Just this whole thought of God is good just started stirring in me, and I began to meditate on that, and the Lord began to show me some things there and open my understanding, and I came to a real sense of appreciation of that. And I want to share some things with you this morning. I want us to think about some things because as I look at this, I think this is a key to all of Christian life. We can ask the question, is God good? Is God good? What does that mean? We can ask ourselves, you know, what makes God good? What is this all about? God is good. It's easy to say. It's easy to have as something that we put out there. But life gets tough. Real tough. Menno's brother finds out just like that. All of a sudden, he finds out he's got stage 4 cancer. God is good. And we all have our stuff. What makes God good? Oftentimes, you think about this. Usually, when we're talking about God is good, we're talking about something good that's happened to us, right? Oh, I've just been healed from my cancer. God is good. Oh, I've just gotten some extra money in the mail today. God is good. Oh, and we could go on and on and on. And when we think about this, I think this is often where we go with God is good. God is good according to what is good with us. So what makes God good? Where's this all going? What's it all about? What do we mean with this when we're saying God is good? Do you ever doubt God's goodness? I think we do. I do. I do sometimes. Some things come along and let me just explain. Because I believe that when we begin to doubt whether God knows what He's doing, we're doubting His goodness. You see, when we talk about God being good, we're talking about a number of things. We're talking about God being kind. We're talking about God being merciful. We're talking about God being faithful. There's a whole range of things. We're talking about God being morally good. There is no corruptness in God. There's not even a hint of moral failure or moral, you can't doubt God's morality because God is good. And so what happens when life throws us a curve, we often start to question God's goodness. Let me give you an example. Mary and Martha. You remember Lazarus, their brother, was sick. And Jesus found out about it and he said, his disciples said, are we going to go down there? And Jesus said, not yet. We'll go, but not yet. And all of a sudden, they got word that Lazarus had died. And when Jesus showed up there, what did Martha say to Jesus? If you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. What's that saying? Is it just an observation? Or was it Martha saying, Jesus, I'm not sure you have my best interest in mind. I'm not sure you're good. You could have done better. Now, when you think about that, how often in our lives do we look at things and we say, God, you could have done better? Isn't that questioning God's goodness? What kind of importance does His goodness give to our daily lives? Ray, when you're running behind schedule and all of a sudden you have a breakdown and things are really rough, is God good? How does that affect our lives? When we're traveling and we don't make our connections, or something else comes up, we get sick, you know, we're on the other side of the world and we have all these plans and all of a sudden we're sick. Is God good? This is important. This is basic. Because either God is good or He's not. I'm always kind of baffled by people that say that Jesus was a good man. But when they look at what He said about, I'm the only way to God, they say, no, 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 no. That's not true. There's more than one way to God. Well, how can He be good and be a liar? You see, God is good. That's basic. That's something that we need to understand. And I want you to notice something here. In Genesis, Satan questioned God's goodness and he caused Eve to question God's goodness. And he wants you and I to question God's goodness. That's Satan's plan. That's his goal. If he can get you and I to question God's goodness, he has got us headed in a path that is going to bring us destruction. Right? Okay. Here's Eve. She looks at the tree. The serpent is there. Satan is there, prodding her, pushing her. Look at the tree. There's the tree. Look at that fruit. God knows that in the day you eat thereof, you are going to become more like Him. You see, He's not so good. Because He doesn't really have your best interest at heart. He doesn't really know what He's doing. He's holding back. He could really bless you if He wanted to, but He's not. He could really do this for you, but He won't do it. He's not good. Now, when we start going there, how many of us question in our lives whether God is good? You see, it's a problem. Because it comes into our everyday life experience. So what is going to change in our lives if we recognize and establish and stand on the truth that God is good? You see, these lies are messing with us. God isn't good. He's not so good, is He? If He was good, this wouldn't have happened to you. If He was good, He'd give this to you. If He's good, He'd take you out of this situation. If God was good, these things would change in your life. So you understand? We've got a problem. We've got a problem that causes us to go down paths that aren't good. And the problem is that we start to question God's goodness. Alright? Now, Jesus declares God's goodness. We want to look at a number of scriptures this morning and just see. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 17. There is one good, that is God. You know, I do it, you do it, we all do it. How are you today? Good? No, you're not. Sorry, you're not. Who's this guy? Oh, he's a good guy. Well, sorry, he's not. There's none good but one, only God. We know what we're talking about, so I'm not trying to be hard on us, but I do want us to notice this. Jesus said, God is good. And Jesus was here to declare God's goodness. And as we take our theme, making God's name great, unless we establish this fact in our hearts and in our lives that God is good, we are not going to make God's name great. At least not to the extent that He wants us to and that we could. Okay? So this whole thing is foundational. It's bottom line for us. God showed Moses His goodness. This is over in Exodus chapter 33. And this is so fascinating to me. I've shared a while back, I shared about how Moses was so longing to just get to know God more and to be in closer relationship with God and how that progressed in his life and things happened. Moses told God one day, he said, God, I want to see you. He'd seen him in the burning bush. He had heard his voice. He had talked with God over and over. And you read through Exodus there, and you see over and over, God said to Moses, and Moses said to God, and they're in this constant communication and really in relationship there. And Moses says one day, God, I want to see you. God says, sorry, Moses, you can't do that. Your eyes won't work for that. But he said, here's what I'm going to do. I am going to show you my goodness. Why? Why did God show Moses His goodness? I have had to think about that. There in Exodus, He said, I'm going to make all my goodness pass before you. Huh. What do you think that would do to your life? If all of a sudden God's goodness went in front of you and you were able to see that, what do you think that would do? You know what it did for Moses? It made Moses desire God. It made Moses pursue God. It made Moses long for God. It made Moses a better servant. As he led the children of Israel, it just touched Moses in amazing ways when he saw the goodness of God. That's just amazing to me. In chapter 34 then, in following through with this, in verse 6, we've looked at this verse as well, but there's something here I want us to notice. God is describing Himself, defining Himself, declaring Himself to Moses. Moses says, God, I want to see You, I want to know You, I want to understand who You are. And God says, look, Moses, here's who I am. And one of the things that He tells him there is, I am abundant in goodness. I am abundant in goodness. What He's saying is, My goodness is unlimited. Moses, My goodness is unlimited. There's no end to the goodness of God. You won't drain it if you use it up. There's plenty more for everybody else. God's goodness is unlimited. Now, God's goodness sustains us. And David had learned that in Psalm 27:13. He says, I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of God. What do you think, if you were a Christian, and there's many of them today that are in this exact circumstance, if you were a Christian and you had been beaten and beaten and beaten and put in prison in the worst conditions and brought out day after day and beaten, what do you think would sustain you there? What would give you hope? What would give you purpose? What would give you the strength to declare Almighty God as Lord and Savior day after day in those conditions? I think that you'd need to see, I would need to see, the goodness of God. Otherwise, I'm going to faint. I'm going to give up. I'm going to say that's it. That's enough. The goodness of God is foundational to all of Christian life and experience. If God isn't good all the time, then we better give it up. And if He is good all the time, then we better receive strength from it, sustenance, life. It better motivate us. It better drive us. It better give us what we need. Oh, sorry, wrong button. God's goodness is stockpiled for us. Psalm 31:19. David says, oh, how great is Your goodness. It's laid up for them that fear Thee. God has already stockpiled His goodness. It's there. It's laid up for those that fear Him, those that have a time of need. We can go and we can lay hold on that goodness. It's there for us. I like that. I like that. God has already reserved a stockpile of His goodness for me, for you, so that we can face life and its toughness, its difficulties, its curveballs, all the things that come against us. That goodness is great, and it's stockpiled for us. I didn't know how to say this exactly, Psalm 33, verse 5, but God's goodness is totally everywhere. That's the only way I could come up with to say that. He says there, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. The earth is full of it. You know what that tells me? It tells me that I can see
what I'm looking for. I can see what I'm looking for. You ever been around somebody that all they can talk about is all the bad news that's happening? Fun, isn't it? It just makes your day so enjoyable. You just can't wait to be with that person again the next day, right? Wrong. What's the problem? It's what they're thinking about. It's what they're looking at, right? A story about two people that are walking in New York City. And as they're walking along, the one guy says, "Do you hear that bird?" And the other guy goes, "No, I don't hear any birds. All I see is all these people, and all I hear is all the noise and commotion, the vehicles and all the stuff making." And the guy says, "Well, listen, there's a bird." That's kind of like the goodness of God. It's there. If we're listening, if we're looking for it, it's there. The earth is full of the goodness of God. We may miss it. We may totally miss it because we're focused on all the other stuff that's happening around us. But the earth is full of the goodness of God. It's there for us. I like this. And I want you to just notice something. We talk about David being a man after God's own heart. David probably talks more about the goodness of God than any other writer in the Bible. He talks more about the mercy of God. David was in tune with this God. And in 65:11, he says, "You crown the year with your goodness." Now that word crowning there has several meanings. A crown encircles, right? So it has that concept. God, you've encircled my year with your goodness. Now, Marianne, it doesn't feel like His goodness when your kids are all sick, does it? It feels like there's a gap there, like some goodness is missing, right? And we all know how that feels. It feels like some goodness is missing. So He's got that concept there that God has encircled our year with His goodness. Now, we talk about living one day at a time, but God's already got your year. Huh. Isn't that awesome? God is good. All year long. Okay? That word also has the idea of protection. You get that from the word encircling. God has protected our year with His goodness. Well, here's Mary and Martha. And they're saying, "Our brother's dead. We needed our brother." It feels like our year wasn't encircled too well. But we're not talking about how it feels. We're not talking about what our eyes are seeing or what we're experiencing. We're talking about truth. Basic truth that underlies everything. God has encircled our year with His goodness. Is that awesome or what? And as I look out across, and I think about some of the stuff some of you are going through, there's a truth that we can stand on, we can build on, we can live on. God's goodness is for the poor. Again in Psalm 68, verse 10. "God, you've prepared your goodness for the poor." Most of us don't have much of a clue about what it's like to be poor. to have no idea where your next penny is coming from. But poverty tends to make us question whether God is good. If your kids were laying there, Luke, your baby was there crying because you had nothing to feed it. Absolutely nothing. It wouldn't feel like God is good, would it? But here's what God says through David. He's prepared His goodness for the poor. Remember? He's got that big stockpile of goodness that He's laid up, that He's put out there. And a good chunk of that He's put there for the poor. We say, well, then why doesn't He give it to them? Why aren't they rich? Why can't they feed their kid? Why? You know what? I don't know. I don't know. But you know what I do know? God is good. We need to praise Him for His goodness. And David says this over and over in Psalm 107. Oh, that men would praise Him for His goodness. Well, you know what? If I'm going to praise Him for His goodness, then I'm going to have to realize and understand and settle it in my heart that He is good. He filleth the hungry soul with goodness. He fills those who look for goodness with goodness. Oh, that men would praise Him for His goodness. One of the things that I've started doing in my prayers is I often start out with, God, You're good. God, You're good. You are good. And I think that's so important that we learn to praise Him for His goodness. To recognize His goodness, to appreciate His goodness, and to praise Him for His goodness. Now, God is my personal goodness. Psalm 144, verse 2. My goodness. David is talking about who God is to him. He's my goodness. We talk about my goodness. We use that as a phrase a lot of times. Oh, my goodness. Well, David says, my goodness is God. He needs to be our goodness. Without His goodness, we have no goodness. It's because He is good and we abide in Him and He abides in us that we can be good. And we can display His character. We can make His name great. We can show to others that goodness as well. God is my personal goodness. We can't talk about this too much. There is no way that you can spend too much time talking about the goodness of God. Psalm 145, verse 17, or verse 7. They shall abundantly utter the memory of Thy great goodness. You know what? One of the things that caused the children of Israel to fall, actually the main thing that caused them to fall, was what? The same thing that caused Eve to fall. Questioning God's goodness. You know, when Moses was up there in the mountain, and they looked around, they said, whoa, we don't know what happened to Moses. You know what? They heard God speak to them. And they heard, if I remember right now, you might want to check this out, but I'm thinking they heard God call Moses up into the mountain. or at least Moses shared with them that God had told him to come into the mountain. But after Moses was gone a little bit, they decided God wasn't so good. And you look, over and over and over and over and over, they decided God was not so good. God brought us out here to die in the wilderness. Wait a minute. What did God promise them? A land flowing with, if you'll come, you'll reach this land flowing with milk and honey. Well, yeah, but here we are. We don't have all the stuff to eat we like. God isn't so good. And they didn't talk about God's goodness to their children. They didn't think about God's goodness in their own life, first of all. They didn't talk about God's goodness to their children. And a whole generation would come along that didn't even know about the goodness of God. Do your children know about God's goodness? I'm asking myself. Do they know about God's goodness? Have you ever talked about God's goodness to you? Do you declare and live on that truth day by day that God is good? I think it's a challenge for us. God's goodness satisfies. This is the prophet Jeremiah. And God is saying, look, I'm going to satisfy the people with my goodness. It's going to be a satisfaction for you as my people. Are you satisfied with God's goodness? You know what? If you're not satisfied with the goodness of God, there is nothing going to satisfy you at all. Nothing. And all of our life will be spent looking for something to satisfy. God says, I'm going to satisfy my people with my goodness. Is that what's satisfying you today? It's good. Stand in awe of His goodness. Zechariah 9:17. How great is His goodness! In your time with God, just start to think about His goodness. We're going to look at that a little bit more. God is good in so many ways. And when we're focused on His goodness, it causes us to move forward with joy and with purpose. When we lose sight of God's goodness, we flounder. We stumble. We head in wrong directions. Stand in awe of His goodness. Be careful. Paul writes in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, be careful about our attitude toward His goodness. You can despise the riches of His goodness. Here's that stockpile of goodness, this huge stockpile of goodness that God has there for us. You can despise it. You can say, ugh, that's disgusting. I don't need that. I don't want that. That's not good enough for me. I want this. So he says, we can despise the riches of His goodness. Remember, it's the goodness of God that brought you to repentance. It's only because God is good that we're even called to Him. That He's even offered to us salvation. It's because He's good. Remember that. When things get tough, and you're wondering what's coming next, and you don't know where to go from here, remember, it's the goodness of God that's brought you to this place. It's His goodness. Stare at His goodness. Paul talks about in Romans 11, chapter 11, verse 22. He says, behold. That word behold there has the meaning of staring at something. It's like, you know, when you glance at something, you may see it properly or you may not. When you stare at something, you are intent on seeing what is there. That's what he's saying about the goodness of God. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. They're both there. Don't forget that. But we're looking at His goodness this morning. Behold, stare at His goodness. It's there for you if you continue in His goodness. If you keep taking from that stockpile, if you keep reaching out for that goodness, it continues there for you. But in the time when you decide that God is not good, then His severity may come into play. So stare at His goodness. Just think about that. Just focus on that with the intent of understanding and seeing it more clearly and appreciating it more. The fruit of the Spirit is based in His goodness. And then Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9, the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness. When we say God is good, you remember we went into this of God is. When we say God is good, this is part of the isness of God. God is good. That's who He is. He is nothing else. And His fruit produced in us by His Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, is in goodness. It's in His goodness. So the fruit of the Spirit is based in His goodness. His desires toward us are based in His goodness. All that God brings. What happened in Job's life, was that based in God's goodness? It gets a little tough for us to start thinking about all of that, right? Lost all his family, all his possessions, all of that in one day. Lost it all. But you know something, as I just started reading in Job again, just this morning. But as I think about Job, and I remember Job's experience, Job, he didn't say it in these words, but this is what Job's experience showed. God is good all the time. God is good all the time. So when all of his things were taken away, his family gone, Job bowed his head and worshiped and said, blessed be the name of the Lord. God is good. Wow. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11. Fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness in you. God's purpose, God's desire, God's plan for us is based in His goodness. And when we doubt that, when we question that, when we start to say, God, over in Romans, Paul talks about this. Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? God, why'd you make me like this? That thought is questioning the goodness of God. And we've got to recognize that as a lie that's starting to push its way into our lives. We've got to reject that and say, God is good. God is good. Bottom line, God is good. You see, we struggle with that. We ask ourselves questions like this. If God is good, or they're pushed into our mind, whatever. If God is good, why did He make me with desires that are so strong, but He tells me I can't fulfill those desires? God must not be good. You see where that goes? If God is good, why did He make me so that I don't fit with everybody else? If God is good, why this, why this, why this? All of His desires toward us are based in His goodness. Write it down in your mind. Put it on your hands. Put it in front of your eyes. And just go there regularly. God is good. Amen? God is good. Let's stand together. Let's give God one more shout praise. And as we do this, let's think about how am I either living in God's goodness or not living in God's goodness? And what needs to change? How can I live in His goodness day by day? All right? God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Amen. Let's pray. God, we bless You. You are good. You're good. You're good, God. We thank You. And I pray, O Father, that You help us to lay hold of this truth that in all things, at all times, in every place, Lord, that we might lay hold on the truth that You are good. And God, when we struggle and we run into those things that just seem so bad and so unnecessary and so out of place, help us, Lord, to take this truth and make it our own and live in it and walk in it and declare it and show it to our children and show it to those around us that, God, You are good. Impress these truths in our heart, dear Father, by Your Spirit, day after day. And moment by moment, when the stresses come, when the difficulties come, when we don't know which ends up, help us, Lord, to stand on this reality. God is good. You're good, God, and we bless Your name. We glorify You, for You are worthy. And only You are good. We confess that before You, and we confess our need of Your goodness, that it could be our own goodness, dear Father, as You live in us, that it might be the fruit of Your Spirit living in us, O Father. Dismiss us now with Your blessing. We'll give You glory in Jesus' name. Amen.